to be here. Youth Media Center is open between 10 and 2 today. Now, let me share some more of these. Pappy Dog in New Concord says, when you hear sudden bad news, oh, perhaps it would break your heart. When you hear bad news or you're heartbroken, I hope that is the right answer. Nick, I'll take a look for your request. For Have a Heart by Bonnie Raitt. It looks like we don't have it, at least based on a very quick search. Mick included a heartfelt desire. That was answering Susan's earlier question. And Pappy, when you show your emotions openly, we had that one earlier, wearing your heart on your sleeve. We've gone through, this is one. If you're not going to take things too seriously, they say you're this. Oh, and if you are just a non-feeling, non-caring person who just simply has no empathy at all, they would say you have this. That one would be a hard heart or a heart of stone. And I was thinking of lighthearted for the other one. To not take things too seriously would be to take things in a lighthearted way. There are a lot of these. And we have a few more minutes if you'd like to share any. Here are a bunch. Kathy and Jack, a Hank Williams song. Nothing's coming to mind. I almost need to do that in reverse. Hank Williams song with heart. Did he do Heartaches by the Number? I don't think he did. You'll need to let me know the answer, or maybe you do. Oh, Pappy added My Heart Dropped. And Kathy and Jack have Cold, Cold Heart for the lack of empathy. Sudden bad news causes your heart to skip a beat, Alan says. That's interesting, because good news, or being in love, they say your heart will skip a beat too. Kathy and Jack knew Heart of Stone. Ah, Tegan. or from Drew, by way of Tegan. Motto for a university in Pittsburgh. That would be Carnegie Mellon University. My heart is in the work. Or Andrew Carnegie's response, my hand is in your wallet. Thanks, Drew. Just kidding, Andrew. In The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, Jim writes that there was a spaceship called Heart of Gold. Well, I think we're just about up to date. There are so many of these. Thank you for playing along with us. We still need that Hank Williams song. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP FM, Indiana, WMCO, New Concord, KRDP, Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSHJ FM, Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and the brand new slbradio.org/radio. Hank Williams was, of course, your cheating heart.
Old days find me on a somber note. It starts to rain today. Man, things are gonna flow. You can't run from trouble. It always tracks you down somehow, some way, someday. Cause there's one road ending, another takes you back, heart and soul, beginning to somehow make you whole. One road ending, another takes you back, heart and soul, heart and soul. Blessings. I put on my walking shoes as though I'd walk away. If I had to choose, when old days find me on a somber note, I'll let it rain and say, somehow I'll stay afloat, cause there's one road ending, another takes you back, heart and soul, beginning to somehow make you whole. One road ending, another takes you back, heart and soul, heart and soul. Heart and soul, beginning to somehow make you whole. One road ending, another takes you back, heart and soul, heart and soul.
Heart and soul from the Seldom Scene. Thank you to Alan in Squirrel Hill for your comments on our brand new website. We're proud that the website is up and running, and your comments are very helpful as we work to transition to it. We're grateful to hear from you. One of the best things is Steve from Oakmont, who wanted to be anonymous. Oops, but he didn't. That's me. Steve mentioned he was able to find a performance that he really wanted to find, and we're still adding our whole catalog of past performances. You know, there's teens that are wondering if they have a, if we have an archive of when they were on the radio when they were 8 years old. They're all over the place. You'll be able to find those in our catalog. You can find them now too, but it's going to be even easier as you work through the new neighborhood or the new slbradio.org. Let's get it all straight. It's slbradio.org.
Prime Stage Theater joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Prime Stage's production of And Then They Came For Me, Remembering the World of Anne Frank, takes place at the New Hazlett Theater on Pittsburgh's North Side from March 1st through the 10th as part of Prime Stage's 17th season of Courage and Discovery. More details are available at primestage.com.
I hope you will visit our new website. If you go to ymc.slbradio.org, you'll see a whole list of programs for our Youth Media Center. They're all free. Some even pay you to be part of it. So share that with a teen that you know, or look at it directly if you are one. You'll find it at ymc.slbradio.org. Now, it's my pleasure to have three people that are part of the Phipps Conservatory Youth Climate Advocacy Committee. I've been looking forward to this segment. I'd like you to begin by introducing yourself, indicating where you go to school, your neighborhood. If you have any shout-outs or acknowledgments, this is a perfect time to do it. And why don't we start with Matilda?
Hi, my name is Matilda Turek. I go to Pittsburgh Kappa. I'm an 11th grader. It's great. And I live in Lawrenceville.
Hi, I'm Vanessa Gonzalez-Rickner. I'm in 12th grade. I go to Winchester Thurston School, and I live in Swissland Park.
Hi, I'm Yuki Chen. I'm in 11th grade at North Allegheny Senior High School, and I live in McCandless Township.
I am always thrilled when we have people from different neighborhoods all working together. Have you been working together on projects, or are you simply part of the same group?
Vanessa and I are working together on a project about native plants and lawn care, and Yuki is working on a different project.
Well, we'll learn about each of those. Why don't we start with yours, Yuki? I think it's about environmental justice, if I understand correctly. And I want to get out of the conversation, not entirely, but as much as I can. So I'll ask Matilda and Vanessa if you have any questions of Yuki to just jump in. And I'll ask you the first one, which is, there's some folks who might need a definition of environmental justice.
Right. So environmental justice is a way to really bring equality to how the environment impacts the quality of life of our communities. So, for example, my project focuses on radon, and with radon is a poisonous gas that can cause lung cancer and other lung damage, and it's especially high in levels that have lower income. So we're focusing on trying to bring equality through making sure that radon mitigation is equal throughout all levels of all communities. And that is kind of what environmental justice is, being able to bring that kind of equality and equity through all communities so that we all have the same levels of health and quality of life.
I think that project sounds amazing.
Thank you.
I am curious what like inspired you to work on this.
Right. So actually, one of my neighbors actually got lung cancer, and obviously we were not sure if it was caused by radon levels, but she was a non-smoker and her house did actually have high levels of radon. And you know, we don't really have much awareness about how that really occurs. Like radon, it's not really made aware or public, like the true devastating things that it can do. And especially, you know, I just wanted to be able to bring awareness that in those communities, because it's a silent, it's undetectable gas without these technologies, which the lower income communities don't have. So I really just wanted to bring awareness and say that, you know, all communities have the right to be able to mitigate radon, to be aware of like what it can really do to your health.
Great. That's really cool.
The problem is not so much that radon is occurring naturally in poorer communities. It probably is in lots of different places, but it's access to the mitigation technologies. Or is it true that if you build homes in brand new green spaces in the suburbs, you're less likely to find radon?
Yes, that's true. So obviously the environmental quality or the natural state that it is in will determine what kind of neighborhoods kind of naturally go through there, especially gentrification and all those processes. The levels of radon tend to be much lower in more higher income or more suburban communities rather than the urban areas. For example, the average radon levels in like urban Pittsburgh seems to be around 6 to 7 picocuries per liter, while in the suburb areas they tend to be more around 5 or 6 picocuries. And that tendency, while we can't 100% say that it is because of those income levels, there is a tendency, and we just want to bring light and awareness to those communities to be able to kind of benefit them or to be able to just tell them about these kinds of dangers, I guess, I suppose.
Have you gotten into other environmental factors such as lead in drinking water or legacy paints?
Yeah, so when we first decided what kind of environmental justice project we wanted to focus on, we definitely looked into lead, arsenic, and those other factors, especially because those are definitely very high in Pittsburgh. And we did find that we wanted to focus on radon the most because there's not as much focus on radon itself, because you hear about lead all the time or you're drinking water, but radon is this radioactive gas that we're not very aware of or sure of. So that's why we did choose to focus on radon, but obviously lead, arsenic, drinking water, dangerous paints, those are especially, and mold, those are things that do have a lot of impact on environmental justice as well.
I remember when you talked about your project at FIPS, it was the first time I'd heard of radon, and I remember being kind of like shocked that I'd never heard about such a big issue before. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really good for bringing awareness.
Thank you. Because it is actually the second leading cause of lung cancer, right behind smoking. And for people not to know about these types of things, I think it's very important to just shed light and be able to bring to attention people, to the people, these dangers that, you know, we don't really see often with our naked eye.
Vanessa, anything on your mind?
I think I had heard of radon a little bit before, but I think it's really cool that you're kind of making like this tangible, doing this like tangible project about, isn't it like distributing radon testing kits or something?
Yes, so right now we're trying to work with radon mitigation companies to donate radon testing kits, and we hope to be able to distribute them through community centers or through fire stations through the most marginalized or most affected communities. So that's what we're working on right now.
Yes. That's awesome, because I think that sometimes we focus a lot on education, and the fact that you're actually like doing something and like actually getting hoping to get those kids out there is really important.
Thank you.
I'm curious, from my perspective, I think sometimes there have been unscrupulous radon remediation companies that might give somebody not very sophisticated, a very expensive estimate to fix something. I don't know if you've come across that or not. Sometimes the remediation, it can be a fan or changing ventilation patterns in a basement or another part of your home. Do you get into that at all in terms of awareness? It's probably less than it once was, but there was a time when, like with any contractor, somebody might want lots of money, and when health is involved, people might feel they have to pay it.
Yes, so we're not entirely sure how much these companies charge for remediation, but what our goal is the distribution kits we're trying to distribute are radon testing kits. So firstly, we want these communities or these households to be aware of how much radon they have in their homes and really understand how dangerous it is. And then we want to bring awareness that, you know, as you mentioned, the ventilation, the radon remediation is actually very simple if you have awareness and you're aware of how high your levels are. So what we're trying to do is we want to bring awareness that you have these levels of radon, and then we want to distribute flyers and do educational seminars that regard the ease of being able to remediate these systems. So I would say we are trying to combat that, taking advantage. Although I haven't seen that as much in our communities, I will say I think the work that I've seen with the Pittsburgh companies, they do give fair estimates and fair remediation strategies to these households. We just want to bring awareness that these households can remediate themselves and do it by themselves with just ventilation and awareness.
I think you're right. I think things have changed because of awareness. I'm not sure that happens, but it can happen, and often it's people from lower income communities or people that may not have the knowledge, because it can be tough if you're working all the time,
right,
to stay up to date on those things. So what a great project. Do you two have any other questions about Yuki's project?
Not really. It seems really, really interesting, and I'm excited to see what comes of it.
Me too. Anything you'd like to add?
One last thing is that we are trying to do a focus on policy as well, because there's a lot of policy that's lacking in Pennsylvania, whether it be mandating testing for schools or mandating testing before real estate sales. Those are focuses of policy that we see there's a lot of holes in Pennsylvania. So us, as my group, we're trying to create a petition and garner some support, like politician support, for these policies. That's the other aspect of the project that we're working on. Yes.
Wonderful. That's you're attacking the problem from the bottom and the top, which is a great way to do that. That was Yuki and her project, and she again is a student at North Allegheny Senior High in 11th grade, and she's part of the Phipps Conservatory Youth Climate Advocacy Committee. And now we're going to talk with Vanessa and Matilda from Winchester Thurston and Pittsburgh Kappa, respectively. I'm excited about your project because my wife, Ricky, and I did it. Our lawn has not one blade of grass in it. It took us a while to get there, but I don't know who's happier, the two of us or the birds and the bunnies and the squirrels. I'm especially happy because I don't have to cut the grass anymore.
Oh, yeah.
So tell me a bit about your project.
So I guess our project is trying to encourage people to convert their lawns into meadows, since lawns are very energy intensive, and they aren't very helpful for native plants and animals. So we want to encourage people to convert their lawns into meadows where they can have native plants, and encourage native pollinators to come, as well as increasing storm water drainage and also helping, it's also just easier to maintain. And to do that, we are working on, we are converting one of the people in our group's lawn into a meadow and creating a documentary about that, interviewing experts and things like that.
How cool. And I should mention to Yuki, feel free to jump in as we're talking. I think the documentary is a great idea because we thought about doing this for years. I think if mowing the lawn was supposed to be fun, there would be an exercise, a piece of exercise equipment that simulated mowing the lawn, and there is none. So I know plenty of people that like that kind of yard work. And if you really like sports, perhaps it's nice to have a lawn, although I would opt for a park. Do you think it's hard to get people to consider moving away from the lawn, which is really something that goes back, I think, to the 1600s or 1700s, if not earlier?
I think one of the hardest things is working with neighbors and neighborhoods if you want to convert your lawn, because there can be like homeowners associations or neighbors who don't want like the animals in the neighborhood or don't want to have a lot of insects or bees around. And so they might also just think like, oh, it's ugly to have all of these big plants, and that's not how it doesn't go with the rest of the neighborhood. So people often run into challenges with things like that.
Also, if anyone is like interested, if you're like thinking of like selling your house in the next few years, you don't know, or renting it, like that might not be something that people would be interested in having, and then that's a like worry for people as well.
I never thought about the quote legality of it. There probably are homeowners associations or even municipalities that might regulate that sort of thing. I know ours doesn't, but it never occurred to me to even check. Do you address how to maybe change those rules at all? That would be a big lift, I think, but there must be misperceptions about grass being really important for this or that. I'm sure even with stormwater management, people think grass is important, but there's other ways to do it.
I think there's definitely a sort of culture built around grass and grass lawns, like you were saying. So I think that's a big part of it. And like the perfect American home, if you sort of picture it, you have this beautiful big grassy lawn. And on the topic of like policy or changing rules like that, we are planning to interview some people who ran into issues when they were trying to convert their lawns to like native plant gardens, meadows. And I think we'll definitely get into it more there. And if we have that sort of interview information, we can do further research and present more about it in the documentary.
So your documentary will start with a home that has a traditional lawn and kind of go through the trials and tribulations of getting to the finish line?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to, I think the plan is to have the documentary follow the transforming this house's lawn into a meadow, but along the way have interviews with experts and people who have done things like that before, so that we have some more context.
Also, shout out to Magnus for letting us convert their lawn.
And Magnus is?
They are one of the people in our group.
What's the family? Magnus is one of your other students.
Yes, and his lawn is the one that we are converting.
I would have let you convert our lawn if it still needed to be converted. Yuki, are you thinking of anything that you might want to add to the conversation or ask about?
I guess I just wanted to ask, what's the biggest difference between a lawn and a meadow? Because I guess I'm unsure about what really the big difference is, other than the benefits that you guys talked about.
So a lawn, I think, is generally just like a plot of grass. Sometimes there are other plants mixed in there, but it's generally kept short, and it doesn't support a larger ecosystem. Like, there aren't a ton of pollinators that go there. There aren't, like, there's nowhere for, like, animals to live, mm-hmm. also, if there are smaller animals. And a meadow is a larger space with a number of different native plants. So you get a lot of pollinators, a lot of native bees, and butterflies and moths can all come around. And there's enough room for other creatures to live there. So you will get a lot of birds because mm-hmm. there are so many insects. I have like a native plant garden in my backyard, and the birds are so lovely. Like, you wake up and you hear the birds chirping, and it's really nice. And you'll also get like other sort of things that can habitate there for however long.
Yeah, I think that Matilda pretty much covered it.
It's an amazing project. It just occurred to me when you were talking about the animals, is an obstacle attracting deer at all in our area?
We haven't specifically encountered that, though it's not off the table. I think it's possible we could encounter that.
Yeah, I'm not sure if I think deer would probably be equally attracted to lawns than they would be to the kinds of ecosystems you're looking at. I'm surprised in our city like lot, I occasionally see deer tracks in the snow, but there's lots of bunnies and squirrels and a gopher or two. And as you said, the birds are amazing to hear. And it's nice to be able to come up with an environment like that. It's really pleasant. Do any of you want to mention anything else about your projects or your experience?
I will just say also on what you said about mowing, you do put a lot less maintenance into a meadow than you do into a lawn. You still have to mow every so often, but that's like with year-long gaps rather than every other weekend.
I agree, and better for the environment because most... If you're using, I guess an electric mower is better and a manual one even better, but most gas motors are not the most efficient things in terms of how they run and the noise that they make too. It's just, I've never found mowing to be very pleasant, but that's me. Anything else about it, about any of your projects?
Well, we have a project that we're working on outside of YCAC that I don't know if that was something you were going to get to next.
Absolutely. I'd love to hear about it.
So Matilda and I have been working on planning the Pittsburgh Youth Climate Action Summit, which is coming up on April 13th, where we're going to have speakers, youth speakers, and some adult speakers, and activities, games, breakout sessions to learn about climate action and how you can get involved in your community.
So that's on April 13th.
Yes.
And is there a website for additional information, or how can people listening learn more about that?
There is. Do you know? It's Communitopia, Communitopia, pgh.org.
Well, we know their work, and I'm going to their website right now. There it is. So the summit is – there it is right on the front page. The 13th is when it's taking place. So Communitopia, pgh.org. That's terrific. And as we get closer to that event or even after it, I'd love to get a recap of it and how it all went.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Do you three have a sense of what you might like to do after high school yet?
For me, I'm really interested in the technology behind sustainability and environmental justice. So I hope to pursue an engineering career with a focus on sustainability and environmental science and things like that.
That was Yuki, who, again, is at North Allegheny Senior High in 11th grade. Matilda?
I am definitely interested in going to college, and I want to keep doing sort of advocacy and climate action. I want to learn more about environmental science, and I want to learn more about other sciences. I'm thinking about studying biology.
My plans are kind of similar to Yuki's. I plan to study engineering with also a sustainability focus, and then maybe later go on to apply that potentially to like a public policy kind of focus, or like urban planning or one of those other applied like things that have to do with engineering.
That was Vanessa, a senior at Winchester Thurston from Swiss Helm, and I didn't identify Matilda right away. She is a junior at Pittsburgh Kappa living in Lawrenceville. Thanks to all three of you for being here. You really added a lot to my thinking on this, and I know to other people who are listening too, and I hope you'll come back sometime.
Of course. Thank you so much for having us.
Thank
this has
you.
Been a great experience.
Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Yuki and Matilda and Vanessa. This is Larry, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at slbradio.org. And our network of great community radio stations.
Looking at the world through the sunset in your eyes, traveling the train through clear Moroccan skies. Ducks and pigs and chickens gone, animal carpet wall to wall, American ladies 5 foot tall in blue, sweeping cobwebs from the edges of my mind. Had to get away to see what we could find. I hope the days that lie ahead bring us back to where they've led. Listen not to what's been said to you. Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh. All on board the train. All on board the train. I've been saving all my money just to take you there. I smell the garden in your hair. The train from Casablanca going south, blowing smoke rings from the corners of my mouth.
Colored curtains sing in the air, charming cobras in the square, striped gilet buds we can wear at home. Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh. Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? Don't you know we're riding on the Marrakesh Express? They're taking me to Marrakesh. All on board the train. All on board the train.
His name is Richie Arndt, and I don't get tired of hearing that version of his of Marrakesh Express. In just a moment, I don't think you're going to get tired of hearing from youth, which is what we do during this hour. And from Prime Stage Theater, we have representatives from the 4th Annual Drama Awards, which were held a couple weeks ago. You'll get a chance to meet three students and some of the adults that are also involved in that program. And that will be coming up in just a few moments. Bill in Homer City mentioned that fond memories, we're talking about expressions, idiomatic expressions with heart in them earlier. And Bill mentioned that fond memories could be referred to as places in the heart. Bill also had a song request that we could not find in our library. Bill, I just wanted to let you know that we did take a look for that.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Quick note, thank you if you're listening at slbradio.org today. Our website has been completely revamped after nearly 2 years of work, believe it or not. And that's because we've consolidated three websites into one website. slbradio.org is where you can go to listen easily online. You'll see a list of all of our affiliate radio stations across Pennsylvania, Ohio, Colorado, Arizona. And if you go there, you'll also be able to listen to all sorts of past segments. So please visit slbradio.org. Your feedback's very welcome, too, as we work to make sure everything is working. In particular, if you use a screen reader or other tools to make the internet more accessible to you due to different needs that you might have, we'd love for you to let us know how things are working for you, because that was one of our big objectives also in revamping our website. And you're the, you know, we can do what we read in handbooks and what people tell us works. And of course, we've tried to do that and beyond, but you're a better test than those particular documents. So Prime Stage Theater's fourth annual drama awards were held. I want to get to Wayne just briefly first. Of course, I want to also get to students. This program blew me away. I was honored to be one of the presenters, and the New Hazelwood Theater on a Monday night was packed.
Yes.
It was absolutely packed. I did not anticipate the event to be as big as it was or as festive, and it was just lovely.
Yeah, we were really proud of it. This is something that we've wanted to have happen for so long. To have it really, the point of the thing is to really celebrate the achievements and the accomplishments and the creativity of young people, you know, and that's what it really is all about. And we really made it. It was a classy event. We had, I think, almost 400 people there, which was wonderful. It's representing what the kids are doing in the schools. It's representing the schools. And I think the thing that really, really blew me away, Larry, and we were really pleased to have you as a presenter. It was very, very important. I mean, we've known each other for, 27, 28 years
now?
It's been a long time. But the idea is that also to see these young artists celebrating and congratulating and really, you know, being with each other. I mean, that was so important, you know. That was also an important part of it, too, that with their parents and their friends and their peers and each other. And it was a very special event. We're very proud of the event.
And I don't need to be convinced at how creative, how much empathy, how extraordinary youth are, yet, despite my, you know, being part of the choir when it comes to learning those things, I mean, I was still just blown away by some of what I saw that night.
Good.
It was really terrific. John Dolphin's also here. He was a big part of getting it all together.
Oh, he would be the director of the Drama Awards program. it was a brainchild that I went to John, and John and I talked about it, and it's like we kept thinking, okay, there's these musicals, but what about the kids that are doing plays?
Yeah, the Gene Kelly, Kelly Awards are for musicals, but there was nothing for plays.
No, and nothing for plays, and also nothing for tech. You know, I mean, it's really important. I mean, as a former technician myself, it's like we need to celebrate that. We need to recognize and honor that. So that was also a very important part of the Drama Awards. So brainchild, I came to John, and John has taken it and run with it, and now he's a director of it.
John, anything you'd like to add about the event? And then we're going to talk to some of the honorees that are here today. That's really why we're assembled.
Yeah, I just want to add one other thing. Working with kids, I think that as adults, we oftentimes think, oh, well, I'll have to hold their hand, or I'll have to, you know, do everything for them. And one of the things that I love about this program is that these schools are allowing these kids to take the lead in the backstage and the onstage part of the production. And I think it's amazing at what you can see from our young people and what they can accomplish if you just let them do it.
Your background, were you a teacher?
I was a teacher for 23 years. I was an actor before that. And when I was younger, we had programs like this in Western New York. And when I got here to Western Pennsylvania, I said, where is it? Mm-mm. We need this. And Wayne and I got together, and here we go.
That's terrific. Where did you teach?
Pine Richland High School.
I thought so. So folks may be listening who know you, and now they can say, oh, yeah, I was right. That's who that is. So that's John Dolphin. Now we're going to meet the three of you, and I'm going to ask you if you could please introduce yourself, indicate where you go to school, your age if you want to, and if you have any shout-outs, this is the perfect time to do it. And then thereafter, we'll engage in some conversation about what you did. So I'll let you start.
Hi, my name is Jay. I'm 17 years old. I go to Shadyside Academy, and I'm really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Hi, my name's Kaylee. I go to Fox Chapel Area School District. I'm a senior and I'm 17 years old, and I'm also a little nervous but very happy to be here.
Hi, my name is Marina. I go to Olsch High School, and I'm 15 years old, and I would also like to thank all of my fellow people who helped me out with everything.
I remember each of you from that evening. Now that I'm hearing you and looking at you, I guess I'll start with you, JJ, won Best Actress. What play?
Macbeth.
And what did it feel like to, you know, you weren't there as you're listening, but this was just like the Oscars or any awards program. There was an envelope. The presenter typically had difficulty opening the envelope. I opened mine backstage. I didn't look at it, but I opened it first because I knew I would have trouble. But when they opened it up and read your name, I just can't imagine that feeling.
Yeah, it's pretty unreal. I remember kind of just like sitting there when she was reading through the list of nominees, and I remember closing my eyes and just trying to breathe and not overthink anything. Yeah, that moment when she's opening the envelope, that's like the moment, right?
And the person who honored you happened to be, just coincidentally, your drama coach dating back to your elementary school years, right?
Yes, that's correct.
I remember, what's her name?
Dana Griffith.
I remember she was just practically in tears. That was really a beautiful moment. Why do you think theater matters? At this stage of a person's life, especially.
Right, right. I think it's just such an amazing medium of self-expression. I've found a lot of myself through theater, I feel like. It's a lot of emotional vulnerability and a lot of exploration. And I think it is, like, theater is its own thing. Like, there's not really anything else that has that same sense of emotional, like, connection. Like, to everyone else, to a director, to a cast member, to crew members, like, that relationship is something truly special. And I think that's a good experience to have at this age.
Let's turn to the person next to you, which is Kaylee. And I remember you too. Kaylee won for best poster and program design, is that right?
Yes,
and,
that's correct.
And tell me a bit about your experience. What was the play up for?
We did The Man Who Came to Dinner, along with like two other schools.
I was gonna say, if I just guessed that, I would have about a 25%
chance. Yeah, you'd have a good chance of getting it right.
Of being right. Three schools did the play. It was fun to see scenes from each of those plays because they all approached it differently. How did you make your poster?
I use this program called InDesign. It's in like the Adobe suite. I learned it through a computer business application class that's at my school in the business wing. It was pretty cool to learn how to use it, and I stage manage, so it just kind of came with like the role, like you're going to stage manage, get stuff done. So I'm like, oh, we need a program, so made one, you know.
Those are good skills to have. We use InDesign all of the time. Have you been in other roles of theater productions, either on stage or other backstage roles?
I mainly stage manage for fall play, and I produce for, we have a spring comedy at my school as well, but that's pretty much stage managing with just like managing the ticket booth. I did go on stage in The Man Who Came to Dinner. I was expressionman number 3 for a couple seconds to push that sarcophagus up there, but that's about it.
I would imagine you're preference is backstage.
Oh, yes.
At least at this point of your life. That was mine, too. And things like this. I was very, still am, not always pretty shy about being in front of people.
Same here.
In that way. But tell me about why the work you've done backstage is also, why that's also meaningful.
I mean, I really feel like, you know, the actors, they do an amazing job. I love my actors. But the actors and the crew, that we're a team, and we have to come together to put on a show. There's no show without actors. There's no show without crew. You need both equally to put on a show. And I feel like a lot of that gets kind of overlooked sometimes. I was really grateful to Prime Stage that they looked into what the crew does and they kind of saw what we do back there, because a lot of people don't see it unless we, like, go out for curtain calls. So it's nice to just be kind of, like, recognized, because I put in the hours, too, alongside the actors. I just don't go up on stage.
That's really well stated, and it's often, there's a song we play called For Those Whose Work is Invisible, and it mentions all of these jobs that exist, and nobody really thinks about who does this work. It just kind of is, and that's a great way of describing it. Makeup is another kind of job. It's very visible, but most people think, oh, it's just there. It just happens. And Marina Miller, you won that award, right?
Yes, I did.
So tell me a bit about that and your experience doing it.
I think that it was such an amazing process to be able to connect two things that I love to do so much, and to let my creativity shine through in acting, which is something that I love to do. And I think it was so fun to just look up all these different designs and just kind of like come up with things, sketch things, and just practice on so many different people. And yeah.
I can't imagine you're getting very intimate with the people. You could mess up. I mean, how do you How do you arrive at what you're going to do? I mean, you almost need test subjects, right? It's not. I would imagine there's some trial and error. I don't wear makeup, so I don't know. And my wife doesn't either. Is there a lot you need to do? And then there's stage considerations too, right?
Yes. In the weeks leading up to the show, I had begun to start practicing on different people, and we would put them up in the lights, and my director would let us know how that looked. There was one instance where I did this thing on this one person, and it ended up looking like a Ninja Turtle. Not at all what we were going for. So we obviously had to scrap that and come up with something new.
Yeah, but that's the only way you can probably figure it out. How the whole – it's got to be very subtle, and it depends on how the stage is lit. Who else is on the stage with that person? That's a super important job. So I'd like to turn to all three of you. And quite fortunately, your schools, Shadyside Academy, Fox Chapel Area High School, and OLSH, which is Our Lady of Sacred Heart High School, have fine drama programs. We read about cuts to music and arts and theater happening in school districts. What would you say to advocate for not doing those things? And I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I think that people might be surprised to hear some of the reasons that you think it's important. Presumably you do, for the arts to be part of every high school everywhere. Any thoughts?
Well, I'd like to say that I really feel like, you know, people are into sports. They have their sports that they can rally around. They can find this team. But if you're not into sports, sometimes you don't feel like there's a place for you at high school. I moved into Fox Chapel School District in 9th grade, a completely new COVID year. I didn't know anyone. I didn't have my space, my people there. So I got involved in drama through just randomly taking theater arts class, and I found a community there, a really supporting and loving community of people who had my back, who were willing to go up to fight for me. Like, they were my friends, and we've really become family through, like, the shows. Like, that's what happens between cast and crew. You really become this really tight-knit family, and I think it's important for everyone to have a place in high school where they can go and they can be like, these are my people, these are my family, you know?
That's really well stated. That was Kaylee. Other thoughts?
Yeah, kind of like adding on to that, our tech director at Shadyside has always said that theater is basically like its own sport in a way. It's a lot of teamwork and it's a lot of like working together. And if you're not able to work with other people, then it's not going to work out. And that like teamwork, that cooperation is, I think, really important. And it's a good opportunity to just meet new people that you probably wouldn't meet anywhere else. Like, I know a lot of people in the theater at Shadyside met their friend groups and, you know, met these people that they've built really, really strong connections to through theater. And those are really important. And they wouldn't have happened without the theater program.
You just made me think of something, which is transferable skills. Even if you are not thinking about a career in theater one way or another, the things that you learn in terms of getting along with other people, connecting, understanding how to work as part of a team, understanding how to meet deadlines is huge as part of that. What are your thoughts, Marina?
I think that theater just comes together and puts together so many important aspects of life that even if you don't pursue theater professionally, even if you end up, for example, becoming a doctor, you need to learn to have time management skills, work together with your colleagues, and just really work as one and as a team, because if you remove one piece of the puzzle, it's all going to fall apart.
That's a good way of expressing that. Let me ask the adults here if you want to add anything. Wayne, Brenda.
Sure. Let me just add one thing, and I'm hearing this from the students here, that I think one of the things that's extremely important with the theater, it's a process. they're learning a process, you know, like you're saying about deadlines, and you were saying about, hey, this makeup didn't work, so we have to go back to the drawing board and we have to keep trying. And I think that idea that they're learning that creation is a process and you work as a team to get there, and I think that's extremely important. So it's not just, hey, it's going to happen. No. There's a way of doing it, and that's a life skill that can carry on, like you're saying, that can carry on for the rest of their lives.
We talk about that here all the time. We've had documentaries created here by teens that have aired nationally and other great successes, but we call those byproducts. Mm-hmm. They're byproducts of the process that we apply, because you don't create an award-winning documentary by saying, I'm going to create an award-winning documentary. No, you follow the process. You might have in your mind that you want it to be good, but it's really a byproduct.
Sure, and it's problem-solving. They're learning problem-solving, which is so important.
John, did you have anything you wanted to add?
Just one quick thing. In the schools, we talk a lot about STEAM education anymore, and the theater has always been STEAM-oriented. Right? You guys are using technology, you're using science, you're using engineering, you're using the arts, you're using math to do that. And that, I think, is one of the educational outcomes of the theater for these kids, that they can bring to anything that they do in the world.
So I have a couple more questions. The first is it's a true confession kind of question. How's that for... for a very an intro. I think that sometimes wake up in the morning and I might not go to work, and I can remember waking up and maybe not wanting to go to school. But because there's something there that I really want to be part of, it kind of gets me there anyway. And what I'm wondering about is, whether it be for you or some of your peers, if you think the presence of a theater department sometimes motivates somebody to get to school, to do well in their other classes. So people often say, oh, we need to focus on reading and writing and arithmetic and forget these frivolous things. But these so-called frivolous things actually help students be better students through attendance. Does that make any sense? Have you, either of you, any of you ever felt that way?
Yeah, I definitely have. I definitely had a point in my life where I was like just going to school just so I could go to rehearsal after classes. But in that way, it did like motivate me to get through the day and get through those classes. And, you know, you figure out like halfway through high school that if you're gonna go through the motions, you might as well try. And then you start working a little bit harder in your class, you start doing your homework more often, because you realize that it's just worth it, right? Because you can, if you can work through that, then you can have that, like, not reward, but that happiness that you get at the end of the day during rehearsal, where you like it kind of pays off. Yeah.
Other thoughts?
Yeah, at my school, we have to have a certain grade so you can participate in theater, sports, or anything. So I think that, through a little bit of force, can really motivate you. I cannot count the amount of times my friends have come up to me and told me I would not be here if we did not have rehearsal today. So,
yeah, I see a lot of the same thing with my peers. I have a friend, she directs, and she's always told me, you know, the plays keep me running. I need to have something going throughout the whole year, because if I don't, I just, like, don't feel like I have a purpose. And I definitely relate to that, because going to rehearsal after school, maybe I have a lot of homework afterwards, but it feels like less after rehearsal because I've had this fun time with my friends and I feel just lighter and I'm more ready to get into the homework than I just go home, do homework, go to school. You know, the rehearsal breaks up that repetitiveness. It's nice.
Thank you for sharing that, because I think that's part of being human. And a lot of folks, though, might not make the connection that theater, it's not just self-contained. It's part of your entire life. I knew this hour was going to fly by. Is there anything that any of you regret not having said that you want to say? I can't do anything about things you regret having said. But is there something anybody need to thank somebody or acknowledge anybody?
I'll jump in real quick.
While they're
thinking about it, let me jump in that we are, John, you can talk a little bit about this too, that we are looking for schools for next year. We're going for the fifth annual, you know, event. So, John, if you can tell a little bit about that while they're thinking about their answers.
Yeah, that and the fact that one of the big things for me is to bring awareness in the communities that these kids come from, right, so that they know that there's a fall play. So that they know what these kids are doing and how hard they're working and what they're accomplishing. Yes, they can go to the Prime Stage website under the Drama Awards and find out all the information for schools if you'd like to participate, and I will contact you with all of that information.
Excellent, and that's primestage.com. And you may not have anything else. I just always like to give you the opportunity in case you were thinking, oh, I wish I had done that.
I do want to thank, just again, I also won Best Costumes with a team of people, so I just wanted to thank all of those other people who worked on that with me.
I'm glad you mentioned that. I missed that in my notes. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I remember now from that night thinking about how fun it must have been to receive two awards.
I'd like to thank just everyone at Fox Chapel, my teacher, Miss Dixon, for getting me into theater, because I had no clue that I liked anything to do with it until I got here, and just like the family that I've created, I'd like to thank them for being there for me through all my years.
A lot of people that night kept thanking Miss Dixon. I wanted to meet her.
Yeah, I just want to say another congratulations to our crew at Shadyside Academy. They're not here right now, but they're really incredible and amazing and awesome, and we all love them. And I also just want to say congratulations to these other two winners as well. It's been awesome getting to meet you officially, and thank you. Yeah,
and that was Jay, whose play was Macbeth. Kaylee's play was The Man Who Came to Dinner. I neglected to ask Marina your play.
We did We Are the Sea.
Oh, that was really cool with all the people, the waves. One of the great things is you got to see a scene from each of the 12 plays in between the awards, and that was fun. You can learn more. Thank you for being with us. You can learn more at primestage.com. Learn about Prime Stage's upcoming productions for the rest of the season, but also about the awards. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with some pretty talented people. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUPFM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, Ohio, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ FM Grove City, WCUC FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, and the new slbradio.org/radio.
Nobody's got the time of day it takes for loving you. Listen. somewhere high above the moon. It's mind over matter.